We're starting a brand new series called There Is More. There is more. Do you guys believe today that truly there is more from God for your life for 2026? Do you guys believe that? All right. There is more. There is more, and we believe that. So we're gonna do this series through the month of January, and I really think it'll be beneficial. So I would love for you to be here every week. Well, today we're gonna talk about just what does that mean for us right now this year. Well, it reminds me of something that happened to me about a year ago. I had a car, and it was still fairly new-ish, and something was going wrong with it, though, and I took it to a mechanic friend who's actually in Bernalillo. And so it was there for a couple of days and everything was fixed. And so I went to pick up my car and I'm driving it back to Albuquerque on the interstate. And I'm talking to Mandy on the phone. He's saying, yeah, everything's running great. It worked awesome. This is great. But then I looked down at the speedometer and it said I was going 120. And I'm looking at this going, there's no way I'm going 120. And I'm like, cars are going the speed I'm going. So I freaked out and I'm like slamming on the brakes and I go all the way down to the normal speed limit of 75. And I'm looking at 75 on the speedometer and cars are flying past me. And it feels like I'm not even moving. I'm like, what is wrong with my car? So I'm on the phone with Mandy. I'm freaking out going, I guess I gotta go back because something's wrong with my car. I don't know anything about cars. So I'm like banging the dashboard and like, I don't know. And I pulled off onto the frontage road and it just felt like I was crawling. I mean, I was going as fast. I mean, it was crazy. So I'm looking at this and I'm going 120 miles saying per hour and I'm not. And so finally, I'm about to get off the phone with her. I'm gonna call the mechanic. I get off the phone with Mandy. And right before I call the mechanic, I'm just looking at everything one more time because I don't trust myself. And I looked at the speedometer and of course it was set to kilometers per hour and not miles per hour. So that was a dumb mistake on my part. Somehow when it was at the mechanic, a button was pushed. So I pressed the right button. The car's fixed. I get back on the interstate and everything's fine. Why do I bring up that story today? I think it illustrates perfectly where a lot of people are right now going into this new year. Everything seems to be working fine in your life. Things are fine, but you just have this sense that there's more to this. There's more. There should be more power. Something just feels a little off and you want to go into this year performing, doing something better, not performing. I shouldn't have said that. Going into this year, thinking about what my life can look like with more power from God, experiencing more that he has to offer for our lives and not settling for less as other people seem to just be flying by on the road of life. There is more. And I know many people, I've talked with many of you over the course of the last few months, many people just have this sense, this quiet voice inside of them just whispering, there has to be more than this. There's got to be more. There's got to be more for my individual life, for my passion, for my fulfillment, for my peace. There's got to be more for my marriage. There's got to be more for my family. There's got to be more. And I want to tell you today, there is more. There's more than just the routine of everyday life. There's more than just the monotony. There's more than just how we've been living. God wants so much more for your life. Do you guys believe that today? He wants so much more. I don't want any of us this year to just get through another year. I believe this year can be the best year you've ever had in your life. And it can be as simple as just zeroing in on the word of God for the next few minutes and really zeroing in on what God wants for us now that will produce the more he has for us. So if you're taking notes today, the header for my points is simply this: four truths about God's more. Four truths about God's more. And number one is simply this: God is a God of more. We've got to get that right out of the gate. God is a God of more. We need to understand this to be true. We need to understand it theologically. He is the God of more than what you are living right now. He wants to give more. And I'm gonna prove it to you in scripture that he's not a bare minimum God. I wanna say this though. He is the God of more. He's not bare minimum. I can guarantee you that God is not looking at your life right now, looking into this new year saying, all right, guys, you know, I know you've heard that, you know, I might want more for your life, but you know, this year we've gotta kind of just manage some expectations. It's gonna be more of a bare minimum year. God is not looking at you going, hey, we're just gonna get through this year. You're not gonna see anything like that in scripture in accordance to the character of God. He wants more for your life. John 10:10 is a very famous verse. Jesus is speaking. He's talking to Pharisees, religious leaders, and also his disciples. And this is what he says in this very famous verse. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance. That's out of the mouth of Jesus. That does not sound like he wants you to have a bare minimum life and a bare minimum year. I've come to give life. He's saying the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy, bare minimum. I'm coming because I want people to enjoy life. I want to bring abundance into people's lives. But what does the word abundance actually mean in context? We've got to get this right. The word abundance in the Greek simply means above and beyond, more than necessary. That's a very important wording. Because when Jesus is talking in the original language, it would have sounded like, I want them to have life. I want them to have more than necessary. I want it to be an above and beyond life. God's heart has always been abundance and not scarcity. God does not support a scarcity mindset. He is the God who owns everything, and he's the God of more. He doesn't say in this passage, I want them to have life barely. He doesn't say, I want them to have life eventually or life someday. He says, I want them to have life now and more abundantly. It's about abundance. But what does that mean for our lives? What I'm not preaching today is a prosperity gospel. I'm not preaching God wants to make you rich and give you sports cars. And if you end up getting a sports car and you want to give God credit, go for it. But I'm saying he's not in the business of handing out sports cars and making everybody rich. That's not promises in the Bible. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm talking about what it actually says in the word of God. God doesn't want less for you. That's not the God we serve, and it's not the God of the Bible. He wants more for you. But what's the more? It's not our definition of more. It's his definition of more. The more that he's offering is wholeness in our lives. The more that he's offering is fulfillment in our lives, joy. He's offering peace. He's offering a firm foundation under our feet where no matter what we go through, the mountaintops and the valleys of life, we can stand on his promise and know that abundance for me is knowing no matter what comes my way, I'm gonna make it. God is with me, and I know that I can have fulfillment. Nothing can rob me of my joy. Nothing can rob me of my peace because he's the one who brings it into our lives. Do you guys believe that today? So it's not about, God's mentality with this isn't, all right, guys, life is bad, heaven is perfect, hold on for dear life, one day heaven is coming. Heaven is perfect, I wanna make that clear. There's no pain, there's no tears, but never do we find in scripture, hold on for dear life, this life is gonna be awful, but you know, thank God we've got heaven. We do have heaven. But what we see in scripture is God is not wanting us to have a scarcity life now and then only experience abundant life later. He's wanting us to bring heaven to earth now. I'll say it like this if you're taking notes. God is not interested in getting you, only getting you into heaven. He's interested in getting heaven into you now. That's his interest. And I think we have to understand that that's the God we serve. Too many people walk around calling themselves Christians. They have their heads down going, I don't deserve anything from God. I don't deserve, none of us deserve. But he's the God of grace and mercy and abundance. So we need to lift our heads and go, I don't deserve it, God, but I'm gonna ask anyways because you told me to ask. That's the God we serve. Number two, if you're taking notes, we often settle for less than God offers. We often settle for less than God offers. Let's be honest, far too many Christians. I hate to say it, but I think it's true that most Christians are settling in life for less than what God is wanting for their lives. God wants to paint a picture for you today of everything he wants your life to look like, but it's up to us to make some decisions today on what we're gonna do this year to align with God, and we've gotta stop settling. It starts with that. Settling is rarely a big, loud decision. In all my years of pastoring, I've never encountered someone who just said, I'm making a decision today, I'm settling for less. Never heard that happen. But what we see all the time is it's this quiet, gradual fading away from the promises of God, where we even define it as it's reasonable for me to pull away from what I believe God could do. Because when we're baby Christians, when we're new Christians, I love hanging around new Christians. Because they believe everything's possible. And I want reverse discipleship on that. I want them to remind me that I can dream and everything's possible, right? We've got to understand that. But when it comes to settling, too many people equate maturing with Christ with becoming boring in Christ. And that's not true either. We don't have to start settling, saying, well, I went through this valley, this painful season. And again, there is very real pain and there are very real valleys. God is not discounting that and I'm not discounting that. But let me tell you, we've got to be careful to not let life experiences start to make us settle for less in our lives. This is what happens if we're not careful. We start readjusting and remanaging expectations about who God is and what he can do. We start normalizing spiritual dryness. Somehow we know in our, we think in the past were our greatest days with God. And maybe there was a season 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago. I don't think I can ever be that on fire again. I just don't think it's realistic. And before long, we start settling and normalizing spiritual dryness. We can't do that. We start normalizing monotony and dissatisfaction in our lives and call it God's will. God is not calling you to a monotonous life where you are not fulfilled in what he has to offer you in your life. That is not what God is calling us to. In Jeremiah chapter 2, there's a story in the Old Testament where God is conversing with Israel in this portion of scripture, and he's through the prophet Jeremiah. And what we find in this portion of scripture is the people were not technically living in overt sin, but something was missing in their lives, and God is confronting, it's this whole idea I'm talking about, he's confronting the settling for less rather than believing for more. Israel is still very outwardly religious at this time. They're the people of God in the Old Testament. People are still going to the temple, making sacrifices, even making the house of God a priority. But life also appears spiritually functional. Everything appears on the outside like things are fine. They're checking all the boxes. Here's what it looks like to be a man or woman of God. Dude, check this box, this box, this box, this box. But then underneath the surface, though, something had shifted in their souls and their hearts. And in the middle of all the checking the boxes, God comes in and confronts them. And this is what he says in Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have done two evil things. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water. That's number one. And they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that hold no water at all. That's a metaphor I'm gonna come back to, and it's very powerful and applies to us today. What God is saying in Jeremiah 2, though, is that they are dried up spiritually because they were trying to get their fulfillment and soul nourishment from things other than God. So what God is saying through this metaphor is saying, guys, you used to know me as the living water, the source of life. I was God in your life. Now you've reverted to checking boxes in my name, but have become spiritually dry. And it's as if you've built your own cisterns or dug your own wells to collect the water that you think will bring fulfillment, but can't because it's not God. And so somewhere along the way, they took these good things and made them God things and are no longer going to God as the source of living water in their lives. And we can do the same thing. Well-meaning people, Christians, people on their way to heaven are not living the lives, many not living the lives God wants them to live because of this story right here. At one time, remember the verse where God says, you come back to me as your first love, right? We had that first love passion with God. He was everything. There would be nothing else that we would replace him with. But over time, maybe again through some disappointments, through just life, the ups and downs, we start to think, well, I didn't get the peace I necessarily wanted this time from God. Maybe I need to have a backup plan and I need to build my own well and maybe try to find peace somewhere else. Maybe I need to find joy and fulfillment somewhere else. Maybe it's in a love interest. Maybe it's in a new position at work or whatever it might be. And again, good things can become God things in our lives if we're not careful. And that's what God is confronting. And I think a very powerful prayer and posture for us today on this first Sunday of the year would be, God, feel free to confront me in any way like you confronted the Israelites back then. Confront me. What are the things in my life where I have dug this backup plan, plan B for fulfillment and sustainment in my life, where although these can be good things in my life, I've got to elevate you back to God, the living water, my first love and my first passion. I think that's one of the greatest prayers you can pray today going into this year. So here's what I want you to notice from this story, though. God is not confronting atheism. He's not confronting disbelief. He is confronting, though, cooled affection. He's confronting this, and I think it's important because God takes this seriously enough to confront it. People where their affection for him has just cooled off. And there's a whole chapter devoted to it. The people did not overtly reject God. That's not what he was confronting. They slowly replaced him with those substitutes. And I think that sometimes we think God only confronts atheists and people that are going crazy. But I think today, out of love, God is confronting many of us going, hey, come back to me as your first love. No more substitutes. Let's get this thing back on track and live the life I'm calling you to live this year. Settling is quiet, it's gradual, and it always seems reasonable. So even right now, later today, I want you to start thinking, where have I settled? Where have I settled? And I'm calling it reasonable and maybe even responsible to settle when God's saying, no. Reignite the passion, reignite the big, crazy faith that you once had, and let's go into this year. Let's go into this year having a special year and a year that can change your life forever. You guys believe that too today? You guys believe that? Number three is this. God's more flows from his power at work within us. God's more flows from his power at work within us. One of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible, top five, is Ephesians 3:20. I love it because it's audacious. And when you read it at face value, it's perfectly in context and it makes you think. So I'm about to read this to you. And as you're reading it, I want you to ask yourself, what is God asking me to believe as I read this? Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able, talking about God, to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. Here's this scripture, and this is why, again, you can keep reading and it just confirms and confirms the context is perfect with it. That God is, what he's saying is, he is the God of immeasurably more than you could ever ask. He's the God of immeasurably more than you could ever imagine. Now I'm looking at my life. Maybe you look at your life and go, what's the disconnect? If he's the God of immeasurably more, why am I not experiencing him that way? Maybe my definition of more is off. Or maybe I'm not aligned with him to receive the more that he's wanting to give. But I also think it's important for us to understand in this passage that more does not originate in us. It's not more of you, it's more of God, his power, it says, which is already at work within you. The Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, is already at work in you. You have to believe it, you've got to recognize it, and understand the power is already there. But how do we tap into it and get aligned with it? So it flows from God. The verse 2 is not hype about what we want, but hope about what God can do. That's important. It's not going to God with a Santa Claus list of every single thing you want. Although there are, God doesn't mind prayer saying, God, I really desire this. I feel like it's of your heart. But at the same time, he's not Santa Claus. And we need to go to God and say, God, what is the more you have for me? I wanna know you as the hope of my life. So there's two main phrases in this scripture I wanna look at. The first one is more than we ask. He can do immeasurably more than we ask. What does that mean? Well, asking, this has to do with our prayers. And Paul, the writer of Ephesians, is reminding us that God is not measured by the size or safety of our prayers. He can go beyond anything we ask. He will go beyond, but we've got to believe him to go beyond. He is able to do more than we ask, not because we ask well, but because he is able. I have to tell people all the time when I meet with people, talk to people about their prayer life, and they're just saying, I just don't feel like I'm good at it. I listen to other people and they're so eloquent and that's fine. People can be eloquent if they want, but that's not what God is after. The measure of immeasurably more in your life is not dictated on how well you ask, how well you talk to him. It's dictated by, are you talking to him? You talk to God like you would with a friend. You don't have to talk to God. You don't have to change your language to King James Version when you're talking to God. You don't have to change how you talk. It's just talking and going to God and saying, God, here's what I'm believing for this year. And my prayer today is that I'm coming to you with godly requests that align with your will. And I believe it's your will for me to have a stronger marriage this year. And I want you to go beyond what I'm even asking right now in this. I believe that your desire is for my kids to love you to love your house. And I believe that that will happen this year. I believe God, when I ask for my kids to step into their calling, or me and my wife or whoever to step into our calling, that you can do that and do immeasurably more. And when we're aligning the request with God's will, the immeasurably more begins to be unlocked. So let me ask you this. What have you stopped asking God for out of fear of disappointment? Don't ever let yourself fall into the trap of not asking God because you're afraid he won't come through. Align the request with God's will, put it all in his hands, and say, God, I'm not giving you a time restraint. I'm not giving you parameters. I'm asking you. You told me to ask, and this scripture says you do immeasurably more. I'm coming to you with what I believe are godly requests today, and I'm asking you in your way and in your time to do immeasurably more than what I'm asking right now. That's what I believe this scripture is saying. It's very plain, and I believe that's what you need to hear today. The other part of this is more than we imagine. More than we imagine. This is the God dreams that used to be inside of you, the God vision that he's wanting to give you. But our imagination, when he says more than you imagine, some of us are like, I don't remember the last time I imagined what God could really do in my life. Why? I think if that's you, you've got to start imagining again. You've got to start dreaming again. I think some people in the room today, you came to just hear this statement. It's time, no matter what 24 and 2025 had for your life, it's time to dream again. It's time to dream again. Come out of the valley, come out of the darkness, and dream again. It doesn't matter what age you are, dream again and allow the imagination of God in your life to run loose and to be strong and watch what he can do. Do you guys believe that today? The hard part, though, is that our imagination is oftentimes shaped by pain, shaped by things in the past, and we start pulling back on the imagination, that settling. You have full permission today from the Bible. Imagine again. Dream again. So here's the question I want you to ponder with this one. What might God want to do that you believe in theory, but no longer picture in reality? What is God wanting to do that you might believe in theory, but no longer in reality? Move it from theory to reality. For some of you, it was starting a business that you gave up on, that you were gonna align it with kingdom purpose. And things happened and you gave up on it. Maybe it's going back and saying, it's no longer theory, it's gonna be reality. Maybe you gave up on praying for a loved one who walked away from God. Reignite that prayer again, because he's the God of immeasurably more than you can imagine. And I think today, one of the godliest things you could do when you get home is get out a journal, look out a window, listen to worship music, whatever works for you, and say, God, I'm for the next 30 minutes, I'm just gonna dream again. And I'm gonna imagine everything you could do this year and write it out. Let me tell you, in 1 year, you can come back and check all those boxes of what God has done in your life. And it can be powerful, powerful. Here's something I want you to remember. God's more does not depend on stronger prayers, bigger faith, or better plans. It flows from his power already at work within you. But it comes down to moments like today, because God's more comes back to the people of God deciding, today's the day I want the more of God, and I'm gonna go all in on what God has for me. No longer 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I'm just gonna go all in. I might be saved, I might be on my way to heaven, but today I don't just wanna get through life. Today's the day I'm gonna go all in for the more of God. There's an amazing story of someone in our church that experienced just this thing. She's on our serve team, on our worship team. Will you guys help me welcome Shay Kasani to the stage? Shay, thank you so much for taking time to do this today. And such a powerful story about this exact thing. You know, grew up in church, believed in God. A lot of the, like what I was talking about a little bit earlier, checking the boxes. And so that was never a problem, but you found yourself a couple of years ago in this stage of there's gotta be more than this. And God spoke to you and you made some decisions. Tell us a little bit of this story.
Yeah, so I was born and raised here, and then I moved away to Portland for about 6 years, and then came back because I wanted to be closer to my family. And I think during that time, I just felt lost. I wasn't in cheerleading anymore. I didn't have that, you know, like team camaraderie, and I just kind of felt like I was floundering a little bit. And so instead of leaning towards God, I had always kind of been a social drinker, but I started to just create a slightly unhealthy relationship with alcohol. And so God was kind of, you know, nudging me, and it wasn't condemning or loud. It was just kind of like, I'm here for you whenever you're ready. But I was like, no, I want to do things my way. I'm not ready to do things your way. And then, you know, that saying like, or you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. That's how I felt. And I knew that I was the problem. Dang it. And, finally later in 2023, God really gave me that nudge again and just said, you need to stop drinking. And I just said, okay. And it was as clear as that. I didn't fight back. I didn't like combat it anymore. I was just like, okay, because the life that I was living, I knew that I wanted more and I couldn't get there on my own. I'm not the author of my story. You know, he is. And so I think when I finally surrendered to that and just said, I'm going to give my life to you, like, let's see what you can do. It's been amazing.
It's so cool, because I mean, what I was just saying a second ago is exactly what you did. You came to a point where it's just like, I've got to do something. I've got to make a decision. And for you, God was asking you to bring him alcohol and saying, hey, this is something he's noticing in your life is in the way. When I'm talking about Jeremiah 2 a few minutes ago, like building our own cisterns and the substitutes, I think that's what it was for you. It may not be alcohol for everybody. It might be something else, but we all have those substitutes of things in our lives that can become God to an extent of what we depend on. And you get to this point and you just start doing this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 2 weeks turn into a year and 2 years. You just celebrated 2 years sober, which is amazing. I think we can clap to that.
Thank you.
So what happened in your life, though? I'm sorry, I'm talking a lot, but you also mentioned, this is so powerful. You mentioned it just felt like up until that point, people were just, you're looking at other people's lives and going, why can't I have that?
Yeah. I almost just felt like I was seeing other people's success and blessings and, you know, people getting married and having kids. And me and Sean did things a little bit later. I'm 41. And so I was just like, God, where is my person? Like, what is going on? But I didn't want to follow his path. And so that to me was kind of just like not withholding from me, but like, I have more for you, but you have to be obedient. And so once I became obedient and just fully, you know, surrendered to that, Sean and I actually met in college, and the timing just wasn't right. Like, on time God was a big theme at our wedding, which you were at, and it just wasn't the right timing. And so we got to reconnect at the end of 2024, and then we got engaged in 25 and married. I think we have a photo in October of 2025, and just deeply rooted our relationship in coming to church together and premarital counseling and all of that. And then I found a ton of success within my business, my real estate business. Things just started to boom because what God removed from my life, he replaced with so much more.
That's
with,
so good.
With clarity, with relationships deepened with my family, with my parents. Just all of the pieces started falling into place for me.
It's almost like, God gives you the keys to unlock a door and saying, hey, I want to give you these, but there's something you've got to give me.
Definitely.
And then when that exchange happens, it's like that door opens and everything you had been dreaming for, God just starts bringing into your life.
Yes, it's absolutely.
Crazy.
And, one of those things when I started to come to church like several years ago, like Dustin had said, like I was checking boxes. It wasn't like an intentional reason to be here, but being on the worship team was something that I had always looked up to and thought like, oh my gosh, I've loved to sing my whole life. I would love to do that, but maybe I'm not worthy and there's too much sin or, you know, it's not my place. And that was just the devil just talking nonsense into my ear. And so about a year and a half ago, I joined the worship team, which has just been such a blessing in my life to use, you know, the gifts that God has given me to glorify him. And I take so much honor, you know, being up here, being able to lead worship.
So cool. So today, you know, people here at North Campus, I think a lot of people identify with your story because it's so many of our stories.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, you're checking the boxes more. How would you encourage people today and what to do at the beginning of this year?
Yeah, I would just say, go all in, like just fully, fully surrender. When I talked to Dustin, I said, you know, before I did things so half-heartedly, just go in with your whole heart. God has such an amazing plan for you, but you have to let him in. You have to be obedient. And I would also just say, it's not gonna be easy. Whatever that is for you, it's different for all of us, right? It's not gonna be something that's easy. And so you're going to have to surround yourself with friends, with godly people. You're probably going to lose some friends along the way. I know that I did, but the same thing of God removing people, he just gives you so yeah. much more beyond what you could ever imagine and hope for. I mean, what he said is so true. And then the second thing I would say is join a serve team. Getting involved within the church has been so much a part of my story and keeping me on the path that I need to be on, because these are the people that know my heart, that know the heart of God, you know? And so I think if you could do a welcome team or coffee, whatever it is, like whatever you want to do, joining a serve team is such an amazing experience. I would highly recommend.
It's awesome. I feel like I could end the sermon right here. Seriously, thank you so much for just being vulnerable, authentic, yeah, sharing your story. Can you guys give Shay a huge round of applause? Thank you so much. It really does. It's such a perfect segue into my last point today. If you're taking notes, number four is this: more begins with hunger. More begins with hunger. Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Who are the ones that are filled with this fulfillment and the wholeness and the more of God? The ones who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What's one of the best ways that we can redirect our hunger? Well, it's what we talked about in mid-service and really what Shay was talking about just now, fasting. It's committing to doing without something so we can make space for something else from God. And we're gonna start 2 weeks of praying and fasting tomorrow. And I just wanna read you a great biblical definition of fasting. Biblical fasting is a spiritual discipline that redirects our dependence and awakens hunger for God. So what we're doing through fasting is we're denying ourselves something in the physical to receive something in the spiritual. And there could be food fast. And I'll talk about it in a few minutes on what kind of fast there are. But let me tell you, this is a true biblical discipline that I think we need to do more in our lives, not for dieting purposes necessarily, but for spiritual purposes of growth. Fasting, I want to be clear on this, doesn't create the hunger for God. It creates space for you to hunger again. It's creating space where all those substitutes that we've been placing our heart and hopes into, now we create the space to redirect and be reintroduced to God as the living water of my life. There's a passage in Isaiah 58, and this is what I'm gonna end with today, a passage in Isaiah 58 where God, again, is with his people in the Old Testament, and he's defining what fasting is, the importance of fasting, and what the benefits of fasting are. So I'm gonna read this passage, and I want you to really take in what these benefits of fasting are in our lives. Because, and they're gonna go up quickly, I'm gonna go through them very fast, you can take a photo if you want, but this is real, this is God speaking, not me, and I have seen this over and over and over in my life when Mandy and I have committed to fasting. Isaiah 58, 8-9 says, "Do this," talking about fasting, "and the lights will turn on, and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure safe passage. Then, when you pray, God will answer." How powerful are those two verses? God saying, hey, this is one of those spiritual disciplines that unlocks something. Unlock something. When Shay was just talking about it, God asked her to give this up. And I think today we can ask God, what do you want me to give up right now so I can create the space to experience the wholeness and fulfillment that you have? So from the passage, here are five of these results or benefits of fasting that God gives us. Number one is illumination. This comes from the verse where it says, "Do this and the lights will turn on." I don't know about you, but I need 2026 with certain things in my life for the lights to just turn on. I need the illumination from God. I need clarity. I need wisdom. I need right perspective on things. I need the confusion to lift. And all of those things happen when we fast and take it seriously and reconnect with God during it. Another thing that he talks about here is restoration. And he says, "And our lives will turn around at once." He's not accidental in his wording or unintentional in his wording here. Our lives will turn around at once. God renews what feels worn, strained, and fragile in our lives. Here's what I believe today. Through fasting for the next couple of weeks, and I don't say this lightly, I really mean this. Through fasting in the next couple of weeks, I know there are marriages that seem fragile and just broken down. What would happen if you as a couple put away the arguments and all the things you're carrying with you from 2025 and say, we're gonna fast together as a couple? The miracles that could happen in your marriage are amazing. What could happen in the dynamics of your family with your children, with your grandchildren, or at work, when the things that need restoring and renewing? Another result he talks about is guidance. He says, your righteousness will pave your way. Righteousness will pave your way. Guidance is something everybody needs. There's college students and young adults. You need guidance right now. Serious relationships, looking into careers. Every age group needs guidance on how to raise your kids, what to do in marriage, how to deal with finances, to open the business, to close the business, whatever it might be. And I think today God wants to give you guidance. He also promises protection. He says the God of glory will secure your safe passage. I want the protection of God. Every time Mandy and I fast at the beginning of the year, one of the categories that we're fasting and believing for is always protection. Protection over our kids as they go to school, protection over us as individuals, over our church, people that we know in the church that need protection. Protection is such a godly thing to pray for, and God wants that in your life. And then lastly, what he promises are answers. It says, then when you pray, God will answer. God will answer. That's a promise. God responds to hearts that seek him with sincerity. It may not, full disclosure, it may not always be the answer you want, but I would rather just know what God's answer is. And God will answer. There are people right now here in our North Campus, you need answers. And they can't be natural answers. You need the supernatural answer from God for situations in your life. And I'm asking you today to take this fasting seriously, not for anyone's benefit really, but your own and your own family. I'm telling you, if you need answers, you can get them through the spiritual discipline of fasting. And I want to make this clear too. Fasting doesn't make God closer. It makes us more aware of how close he already is. It's not, fasting doesn't make God move toward me. He's already here. Fasting moves me to open my eyes to see that he's been there all along. God is always with you. And I want those blinders to come off as I'm fasting over the next 2 weeks and saying, God, I want to see you in a whole new light. I want my relationship with you to go to the next level. And I want all of these results in my life. And I believe you're the God of more, immeasurably more, and you will come through as you promised. So the question today isn't, is there more? The question is, how do we position our hearts to receive the more God wants to give? Well, I'll tell you, one of the best ways to do it is through fasting. So tomorrow morning, we're starting 14 days. It's like, again, not easy, but it's necessary. Some people will fast meals or something with food. There are Daniel fasts, and we also have a resource, a page on our website where you can go, and there's suggestions for fast. There's all kinds of resources on there. And also, I want to make it clear, if you have questions, if you're newer to this and you need some guidance, you can always email the church, call the church. We'll have one of our pastors reach out to you, answer questions you might have. We want to partner with you in this, in a fasting journey. But some people will fast something with food. It might be the Daniel fast. It might be not eating until 3 p.m., not eating until 5 p.m. It could be a liquid diet. If you do anything in the extremes, consult a doctor. I always need to say that. Consult a doctor. But I'm telling you, whatever God is asking you to do, I'm not going to tell you what kind of fast you need to do. That's between you and God. But whatever God is asking you to do, take it seriously. Some people might fast something with media, social media. We might fast something like all streaming services for the next 14 days. And we will be shocked how much our attention goes to these other things rather than God. And now we're creating the room and the space for realignment and reconnection for everything God has. So again, 14 days of prayer and fasting. We have that texting. You can text in that number and we'll have the companion thing for 14 days. Also, this Wednesday night, the prayer and worship night is not random. It's very specific that we put it here. The first Wednesday of the year, once church is back in session. And it's just an amazing time of about an hour and 15 to an hour and a half of us worshiping and praying. And we're just in the presence of God. If you have kids, bring them. If you have teenagers, bring them. Start off the year experiencing miracles, experiencing the presence of God. And I believe there is more. I believe today, I wanna say it one more time. I believe today that 2026 can and should be the greatest year of your life with God that you've ever had. But it comes down to moments like this, just like Shay said, it's time to go all in. No longer one foot in, one foot out. Go all in on God. Look to God and say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want from me? And when we give it to him, the door unlocks and more is now available in our lives. I believe you can have the life that God wants you to have. You can live at your potential with no regrets, and the days ahead of you can be far better than the days behind you. Do you guys believe that today? Awesome. If you would stand with me here and at our North Campus, we're gonna end today with a prayer and declaration. We're gonna end every week like this in this series. Next Sunday, make it a priority to be here. In fact, make it a priority to be here every Sunday. How about that? Just go home and tell your family, every Sunday we go to church, stop asking. We go to church unless we're out of town or sick. But next Sunday, I'm talking about the presence of God, the more of God that we can have in our lives through the Holy Spirit and what he wants for your life and soul. We're gonna pray this out loud together. So as I pray it out loud, I want you to pray it out loud with me here and at North Campus. Here we go. God, we believe there is more of your presence, more of your power, and more of your purpose. Awaken our hunger again. Create space in our hearts. Quiet what competes for our attention and lead us into the more you desire to give. We give this year to you in Jesus' name, amen.